Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Federation. Joining us today is Andrea Baer, a terrific author who uses her talents to promote life. Welcome, Andrea.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you for having me on. And thank you for the terrific author part. You're so sweet.
Well, it's the truth. And we only deal with the truth on Lifelines Radio.
Oh, thank you.
So to begin with, what motivated you to begin writing a book?
Well, I probably should start with, I never thought I would be a writer. I'm a history teacher by trade. And my mom passed away in 2018. And it was a very dark period for me. I went into this severe depression. I was trying to find kind of a purpose and a direction. And to give you the very short version, I had attended a Catholic women's conference, and I ran into a friend that I had known, not realizing that she was very involved in Catholic media. She was a speaker, and she also was a contributing writer for CatholicMom.com. And this was someone I knew earlier in my life, and her name's Courtney. And I don't know what came over me at that point. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit, but I was looking for some kind of direction. And when I saw Courtney speaking, you know, she's a mother, she has four children, something told me, you know, I could do this. And I had no inclination to write prior to that. So I called Courtney, we talked, she gave me the information. I ended up submitting some articles to CatholicMom.com as well. It took me 6 months to get the courage to do it. And then my first article got published, and I didn't think anybody'd read it. I didn't tell anybody. And later that week, I got a phone call from another Catholic radio station, and they wanted to interview me. And I was completely surprised, because I didn't know why they wanted to interview me. and then the next month, because we put out monthly articles, I put out another article, and they called me again. And I was very surprised at this point. So I called my friend and asked her, you know, is this normal? Like, is this what you do after every article? And she said, I have never been called before. Mm-hmm. So that was confirmation that what I had to say was important. And so then I really found solace in writing. My grief allowed, this was a place where I could share my sadness and also my joys, because I didn't share any of that grief with my my articles. That was all for my private use. But long story short, I found this great joy, this beautiful place where I could learn. And in the process, this was also drawing me closer to my faith, because I was able to connect with other women from CatholicMom.com. And then from there, I joined the Writers Guild, the Catholic Writers Guild, and that put me in connection with other people. And I just saw how people lived out their faith. And this was something that I don't want to say I wasn't used to, but I'm sure, you know, in different niches of the United States or different parishes, we don't always see the fruits of what's available to our Catholic faith. And so this really opened me up to celebrating feast days. This opened me up to looking at, you know, just the richness and the beauty and the tradition of our faith. And so I really wanted to draw into that more. And then it wanted me to do bigger projects with my writing. And I found that as a spiritual writer, as compared to a secular writer, it's a very different approach. You cannot just write for the sake of writing, because it will become very clear immediately that it's not authentic. And so I found, as I started to write more spiritual works, it had to be something drawn from the spirit. It could not just be things that I liked to write about or I felt qualified to write about. It had to be something from the spirit. And I wanted to do a bigger project, and I didn't feel qualified to share my full, how do I say this? I didn't feel qualified to lecture or give advice on grief because I was still a mess in the middle of that. And so, but I had this beautiful Bible study group that I belonged to. And these women had different backgrounds. And I live in Northern California. I live very close to wineries and the vineyards, Lodi. I'm about an hour and a half from Napa, California. So we are very well-versed with a variety of wines. And I belonged to this Bible study group. We would drink wine. People thought we were only doing that, but we were very, we were very attentive to our Bible study. And these women shared experiences of their loss. They shared experiences of moments of, you know, difficulty in their life. And so this, it clicked to me. I was listening to these women share their stories. And I thought, wow, this is really beautiful to come together, to talk about our life, to talk about Christ. And so then I decided that I was called to write their stories. And so I wrote a book called Grieving Daughters Club. And the book is fictionally based, but it is loosely based off of these women and their lives. And in this, it shows the different ways that people experience loss. It's not just death, although that is a part of it. Sometimes loss can be through a loss of a job. It can be loss of a relationship. It could be the loss of a life that you grieve that you had hoped for and it didn't turn out the way that you wanted to. It could be your body has broken down and you have now a disease and you're mourning the life that you had before. And so I put all of these women's stories together in a fictional manner because I wanted to respect their privacy and even my own and really show that when we come together with Christ, that he puts the right people in our lives to help us through these difficult times. And so that's how I began my journey in writing. And it has been beautiful. And many people have told me that this has helped them because I wasn't preaching to them on what to do or how to do it. I was merely sharing other people and how they got through those experiences. And Jesus did the same. He was a storyteller. He spoke in parables rather than, you know, preaching, you know, what the Pharisees preached. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
That is wonderful. Now, how does your book deal with pro-life themes?
So some of the characters, and I don't want to give away too much, but right, some of the characters in the story experience loss in the form of children. And, you know, in from the pro-life perspective, the role that life begins from conception until natural death is very important. And some of the characters in my story have encountered the experience of whether or not they should continue with a pregnancy, and also choosing whether or not, I'll just give you a little spoiler. One of my characters is pregnant, and she also, it's an unwanted pregnancy, but she also has another child. And she comes from a place, and I think this is something that a lot of young mothers who maybe don't come from strong economic backgrounds, they have to sometimes make those decisions of whether or not they should keep a child because it might impact their financial situation. It might impact their life. And this young girl in the story has to choose whether or not she should carry out this pregnancy or whether or not, you know, she already has a child and put all of her attention to this because it will impact the way they live. And so the story continues over the course, kind of going through that struggle. And then there will be other characters that go through that same experience, and they talk about the decisions that they've made in regards to carrying children. So there is a character in the story that does have an abortion, and she has talked about how this really impacted the rest of her life and every decision she made from that point forward. So I don't want to give too much, because mm-hmm. I would love for your readers to check it out, or yeah, your listeners, but it does talk about the role that, you know, we don't have control over what God's plan is, even in those moments where maybe we were in we made a choice or we made a circumstance, and the outcome is we can't choose somebody else's life even over our own. You know, the Greeks talk about love, and there's what we call agape love, which is sacrificial love. And you know, Jesus sacrificed himself for us. That is the highest form of love. And so he doesn't put us on this earth to live a life of comfort. He gives us this life to comfort others, to show our love and to sacrifice for others.
What has been the reaction of readers to your book?
I've had a very positive reaction from readers. Many of them have said, you know, especially in the grief aspect, that they can understand the loss or the longing or the mourning. And many of them have shared, you know, these experiences. You know, the women that in my book, some of them have gone through these situations, and that's why I incorporated it into the story. And so hearing it now in a fictional manner, it was a form of healing. You know, that you're not alone, even when you feel so dark and you feel so isolated, you're never truly alone. God is with you, and he's with you in those times where you are at your darkest. He's grieving with you. He's with you in those hard moments. So having put this into that format of a story, has allowed a lot of my readers to recognize that this is not a journey that we have to walk through by ourselves, even in the most difficult and darkest times.
You have plans for additional books?
I do. One of the things that I found, now, of course, my story certainly centers around the role of loss, and I intend to show various types of loss, but I also intend to show different reactions to loss. So this is going to be a three-part series. I'm currently working on the second one right now, and I intend to show how loss looks different for everyone. You know, how I grieved over the loss of my mother, how the women in my story and deal with the role of, you know, a child or an unborn child, or the, you know, the aborting of a child, they deal with it very differently. And a lot of that has to do with, one, our personalities. A lot of that has to do with the relationship that we have with the person, and that we all grieve in different ways, but none of the ways are necessarily more valid than others. It's our way of trying to navigate the human condition.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. Today, we are speaking with author extraordinaire, Andrea Bear. What other goals do you have as far as projects are concerned? I think there's a podcast in your future, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah, so another friend of mine who's also a writer with the Guild, Jennifer Thomas, she and I are putting together a grief podcast. We recognize that many listeners and readers, there isn't many resources available. And after my mom passed away, I started to look for things that I could connect to in terms of helping me get through my grief and my experience. And there wasn't much out there. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't grief podcasts or there weren't resources. There was nothing centered around the role of Catholic, how to look at that, because that's a very specific way of looking at your life here on earth, the eternal life, the role of purgatory, the role of faith, and how to navigate that while we're still on our journey. And so Jennifer and I, we're launching this fall our podcast. It's called the Morning Glory Podcast. And the word morning is spelt like morn, not, you know, early morning, MOURNING. And so it will be available right now. We'll have it on Spotify. We are still rookies in the podcasting world. So as we become more aware and, you know, able to look at how to put it out into other platforms, it will become more available. But We've already recorded a couple episodes, and actually there will be one. It's one of our first. I'll give you a little spoiler that it does talk about the pro-life movement. We intend to show different types of loss, pre-grief, mothers who experience miscarriages, mothers who are, you know, talking about the role of why they avoided going through an abortion, even knowing that their child might not survive after delivery. So we are looking at that. We want to incorporate aspects of our faith. We want to incorporate the role that death is definitely part of a natural process, but it is not up to us to determine that, that it is up to God to determine our timeline. And we also want to provide that comfort that, you know, that you're not alone in this journey and God's truly going to give us that glory. In fact, there is a, I'm going to see if I can pull it up really quick. There is a beautiful, well, Revelations 21:4, if your listeners want to look at that, but it talks about the role of that God will provide us in that more in that moment of when we are in our darkest point of mourning, that he will be with us and he will take care of us.
How did you come to hold your pro-life views?
Well, while I was raised a Catholic, I do see that not every Catholic keeps a pro-life view. But what I have found is I could not justify in my mind the role of taking a child's life. You know, I have three daughters. My husband and I are 20 years now married, and I couldn't justify the fact that a person had the right to remove a child, regardless of the difficult circumstances. I have someone very close to me that was sexually abused and as a result became pregnant. And listening to their story, they decided to keep their child. And I don't want to disclose the identity of this person because it is somebody that's very close to me. But I looked at that experience and I just thought how beautiful and how selfless was that response, because her response was, you know, this is a child. This is still part of me. They're their own person, but how could I reject this child for the evil that that came about? That doesn't mean this child is evil. That doesn't mean this child is wrong. And that to me is an example of how God works through the hard. He works through those difficult situations. You know, he was with her in this very difficult time, and he has continued to be with her throughout this experience. And as a result, she had a beautiful son who is now a grown young man, who's a father, who is a contributing member of society and just a wonderful human being. And we would not have had that person in our lives if she had made that the decision for him on his life to go a different route. So that's really where I start to see, you know, the role of life. It's not in our, it should not be in our decision making. Parents, I know having three children, when I was pregnant, each of my pregnancies was very different. How I carried each of my children was very different. And I realized their personalities were already forming in the womb before I even met them. My middle one, Emily, is more active and busy. She was the most active baby in the womb. Mm-hmm. And she's still that same way. And their personalities are already formed. That soul is already there before I get to meet her when she, you know, comes out of me. So, you know, I look forward to that. You know, these are souls, these are human beings. And those are going to continue even after they're born, you know, into the world.
How would you recommend that we respond to somebody who is experiencing a profound loss in their lives?
In what regard? In terms of like...
What should we say? What should we do? I think a lot of us, when we encounter somebody who's grieving, we just don't know what to say or do. I know that recently I had a very good friend who passed away, and I didn't know what to say, so I ended up hugging her daughter and trying to give that support. But sometimes I think that I say the wrong thing, and I just don't know what to do.
Sure. And I think that's a very natural thing. You know, even though I've lost my mother, I have had people who have had loss. How I experience that loss is not necessarily the same the way that they're going to. I think letting them know that you are there for them, because after the funeral, after the casseroles stop coming, that's really when the work starts. And that's when the isolation and the loneliness begin. Checking in with someone, you know, I just want to check on you and see how you're doing. Don't have to solve their problems. I think that's the immediate thing, is that when somebody has experienced a loss, we want to cover up that feeling of sadness and try and stuff it with some kind of joy. And all you're really doing is masking that feeling. It reminds me of Jesus when Lazarus dies and he weeps. Now, why would, you know, the Son of God weep for his friend? And, you know, he's the Son of God. But he weeps. He recognizes the loss in that moment. And that's very authentic. That's important to recognize that loss is part of the human nature. They say you got to feel it in order to heal it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to allow those feelings to happen as they come. When you stifle them, they will resurface. Now, after I lost my mom, I did go on autopilot. I had to. I had children. I had a job. I have a husband. I still needed to attend to them. So there were moments where I had to put that aside. But I also realized I could not operate on that note alone, because if I did, it would come back and resurface in a different format. Even now, 5 years later, experiencing loss, it still resurfaces, and it will do so in the most unexpected time. So I think for somebody who's experienced loss, just letting them know, I'm there for you. You know, I'm here for you. You know, it depends also on your relationship. If you're not really close to that person, you may not feel like saying those words are important, but they really are. I'm here for you. Know that you're not alone. We are all here to support you. We all love you. And this is just for me, Maria, I can't speak for anyone else, but when people would say, I'm sorry for your loss, I got so annoyed by that.
Yeah.
Because it just felt so empty, and it felt so, I just want to do away with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very appreciative when people said, you know what you're going through. I'm here for you. Let me just give you a hug. It's going to be okay. Simple things like that can be very helpful. Now, that might be a little different for everybody, but for me, that's what really helped. And just being a support system, not trying to cover up their feelings, or trying to take away, or trying to solve or fix the problem, but just letting them know that there is somebody that they can reach to if they need it.
We've got about 3 minutes left. And as you were talking, I thought about the common bond that the two of us share, because we both had our books published after our mothers had passed away. And I'm wondering, do you feel as if you deprived your mother of something, or do you feel as if she shares in the glory that you're now experiencing, or how does that feel?
Oh man, well, that's I could probably talk longer than 3 minutes, so I'm going to try and keep it short, and I could get very emotional over this, but I feel like my mom was part of that journey, and I feel like, you know, she was an intercessor for me. I believe that she helped guide me in that process. I don't think I would have written a book. And it probably sounds kind of dark to say that, but if my mom hadn't died, I don't think I would have gone down this journey. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing in the sense that I know one day I will see her again. And I feel that she is part of my journey. Even though I might not be able to see her, we believe that there is eternal life. And that's my part. My goal is to get there one day.
It's beautiful. And where can people find your book?
It's available on Amazon, Grieving Daughters Club, by Andrea Bear. You can also find it through Barnes & Noble's, Goodreads. It is available also through other major companies, Target, Walmart. So it is available in those places. Amazon's probably the easiest.
That's wonderful. And how can people connect with you? Are you on social media?
Yes. So I have a Facebook and Instagram. If you look under Andrea Bear Author, I have put author there because I come to realize I Googled my name and there are many Andrea Bears out in the world. So AndreaBearAuthor.com is my website. You can look at my blog as well as my book and various other interviews and to see what's coming next, because I do have some projects that are in the works.
That is so exciting. And I'm just so happy for you. You know, we met as a result of CatholicMom.com and the Catholic Writers Guild. And it's just been such a pleasure to see you and to see you grow and to see this remarkable transformation in your life. So I just want to thank you so much.
Oh, well, the honor is mine, Maria. I look up to you. I'm a big fan girl. So, you know, but this is another testimony of that we don't go through this journey alone by ourselves, that we lift each other up, we support each other, and that is in various facets of our life. So the honor is mine.
Oh, thank you so very much. You've been listening to Lifelines Radio, and our guest today has been Andrea Bear, an author extraordinaire. I'm Rhea Gallagher, Legislative Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, an affiliate of National Right to Life. We thank you so much for joining us on the program today. Please keep coming back. And remember, quite frankly, there is always a reason to choose life. Until next time, we'll say goodbye.